I sighted the microphone from the green light to the speed trap. Ray Reno and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Well, this is a little different this week, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little disoriented here. What's going on, Ray?
Well, I'll tell you what, Joe. This is the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza.
Extravaganza.
Little different, no music. We're not in our usual location. We're at the UD.
The undisclosed location.
But not the UD that you hang out
not
in.
The UD number one. We're
right.
At UD number two.
This is the time of year where we celebrate all the best. It's kind of like a best of show with the guests we've had for the past year here on Motormouth Radio. So you can't call us this week because we don't have a phone bank set up.
Yeah. They don't want anybody calling in. They don't want to be able to trace nothing.
Right.
You know, you got to go down the stairs. You got to knock on the door and say either Ray or Joe sent me.
Right. But be sure that you do.
Say the secret word.
Go to the website, motormouthradio.com, and follow us on all the social media outlets on Twitter and Faccia Brutta Book and Instagram. And you'll find this show up there later on today or tomorrow where you can replay it with us. But for now, we have to go through these doors, Joe, because behind there is a group of people assembled. You know, there's been cars, there's hot rods outside. I see a few bikes.
Yeah. We got the Brave Souls to take it out, even though there was a little bit of rain on the ground there. But
I don't know what to expect. They've been in there for a couple hours.
Oh, jeez.
I saw a couple of our good friends in there that have been, like, at the bar for, I think, like 2 hours. It's only 12 o'clock.
I know. Well, let's see. That makes sense. And it should be well lubricated.
So I tell you what.
And it ain't going to be 30 weight.
All right, listen. You open the door. I got the club. Let's go through and see what we're going to find.
Okay, I'll go high. You go low. So let's get in touch time.
All right, hang on. Let's see. Oh, yep. We're in the hall. There you go.
Oh.
Look at that. Hey. Yeah, everybody's
Jeez.
Here. Everybody's here.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Well.
Let's make our way over there, you know.
We got to sit up here. These are our seats up here. These two dungeon chairs. Yeah.
Yes. And,
all right. Well, I guess let's kick this off. Welcome, everybody. All our friends and family who are here to see us. I got to say, Joe, the way this came about was last year we did a tribute show for our good friend Joe Oldham, who had passed away, right? And during that show, I kind of had the impetus of like, wow, we're kind of like doing like a Mother's Day thing. So
it was along the same lines. Yeah, we had fun. It worked out well.
So we had a very special call that day, something that really was the linchpin to make me decide to go this route. God help me. Let's hear how that sounded back in October from last year.
Did I see the phone flashing just now?
You did.
What Jadrul decided to try to call in the middle of the Joe Oldham tribute?
I'm listening to Motormouth Radio, and I hear my own voice. I'm like, how the heck did that happen? What is this?
Wait a minute.
Can you get to hear the radio? What's up, guys?
Is that my nephew?
Ladies and gentlemen, the man, the myth, the legend, my radio father here on Motormouth Radio, Mr. Chris Switzer, has joined us.
You know, after that introduction, I really don't know what I'm going to say.
You plagiarist, you.
Hey, I take you after the best.
You know what?
Love the show, guys.
Joe Oldham was
a wonderful, wonderful individual. And Ray, one of the best interviews I think you and I ever gave. He was just a spectacular author and columnist. And I just love what you guys are doing as a tribute for him. I think it's wonderful.
Thank you. Well,
anybody deserves it.
When I said to Joe, you know, I wanted to do it, the first thing that jumped into my head was Mother's Day. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
And unlike Mother's Day, where you culled clips from the whole year, God bless your soul, I only had two interviews to go from, which took me a week. You know?
Well, let me tell you, I had too many clips of your co-host over there, Ray. Joe, you had given me so many clips to put into the Mother's Day show and into the promos that we did in the beginning of every show, and it was always comical. It was always a laugh, and I'm very glad you have risen to the ranks of a spectacular host on that mediocre program.
Is that a nice way of saying I scarred you?
I'm not there.
Stop. I just listened to you guys and tried to catch on, and you know, I actually took my cues from the best here, you know?
And you're doing a fantastic job. It's a fantastic job.
Good listen. I could see your standards haven't changed much, but I'll take the compliment anyway.
Yeah, that was quite an ordeal, huh?
My face was still red from that. The guy turned red again just listening to it.
That took, I tell you, yeah, that was high praise from our master. You know, Chris is the guy that we both took our cues from, so.
The originator.
And let's, what happened? What's next on the cue, Joe?
Well, you know, the Joel Olden tribute, they listened to plenty of buzz, you know, with Mark Anthony, our new friend, and media partner from automobileblog.net calling in to give us some unexpected yet very cool compliment.
Let's see how it sounded.
My face is
still. Absolutely. And the forward of that book is so great. The way it's introduced by Joel Olden, the way he kind of prefaces the book, you know, that, you know, other publications in California were kind of politically correct. And, you know, and then as he says in the book, we were the wise ass outlaws from New York. And right, I love that right. line. And of course, I thought of you guys right away.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Really?
That was some high praise from Carl Anthony. He's become a great proponent of this show, Joe.
He's a regular, too, yeah.
He is, and he keeps us... He likes what we do, and we love what he does, so...
And our faces are still red from that one, too.
Absolutely. So, you know, then we delved a little back bit into one of our other things, which is, of course, hot rods and racing and all that stuff. We talk about that all the time. And we Mr. Mike Natale, I see him back there. He's talking to Vic back. I think that's Vic he's talking to over there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're attacking that hero pretty good.
I thought they're comparing wrenches. You know, we go to the Englishtown Swap Meet every year to buy some junk and look at stuff. And, of course, they had a big turnaround this year. So we had Mr. Mike Natale. Mike, if you want to listen up, your bid is on. Let's hear how that sounded back from last January. So, Mike, back in the day, what was your hot rod of choice?
I loved everything. I raced whatever I got my hand on. I raced it. I see how fast it is.
Okay.
But my favorite car is my little 71 Duster I have. I have a little 71 Plymouth Duster with a steel-headed 340, 9-inch tire slick, and it leaves like nobody's business.
Nice.
And, I'd calm it down, but I used to do some major big wheel stands and hit the 60-foot class with the rear tires, and everybody, nobody believed with the, you know, stock, it was stock stroke, and, you know, it's a regular stock stroke, and 30 over, 340 with steel heads.
Make it even better is like, put a long strap on the tranny blanket so the strap trips the 60-foot block. You don't have to wait for the rear wheels to go by.
Well, yeah, that would actually, it would hang down, because I blew up a 727 one time, and that was, let me tell you something. That was just like stepping on a landmine when a 727 explodes.
Yeah, definitely.
But,
definitely.
That's my car of choice, but I had a Motion Biscayne. That was my high school car.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool car. That was a lot of fun. They called it the Battleship.
Right.
You know. But,
and you're a Long Island guy.
Yeah, Valley Stream. I grew up in Valley Stream, went to Central High School.
Uh-huh.
Mike Trotter is, you know, one of the top automotive instructors in the country. Was I happen to have him as my DJ, and then I worked with him. They actually hired me. At Valley Stream.
You taught ATPP, didn't you?
Yes, I did. We wrote.
Mike, do you know how Joe knows you taught ATPP?
ATTP.
Yeah, ATTP? He was in my class.
Yep.
In our classes, yeah.
Out in Farmingdale.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day.
Farmingdale. It's great. I loved teaching and being at that college because we had the federal test procedure dyno there.
Oh, yeah. That place is loaded for bear. Mm-hmm.
Oh, we had the top. Yeah, we played with that. We had a lot of fun. God, I don't know how we didn't kill anybody with this stuff.
Let's go back to
yeah. Talk about
Absolutely. Let's not go back. Let's stop that, because that's not what we're supposed to do here.
Let's not go back here. You know, let's face it. You know, Ray, you got tuned in by a CarCraft article written by our friend Steve. So, of course, we got him to call and talk about it.
That's right. That was Steve Magnante, of course, good friend of the show from CarCraft, and he does, what's that show he's doing on Motor Trend TV? It's Junkyard Crawl, I believe it is.
Yeah. See, we got radio stars, TV stars. You know.
And Steve did call. That was right. It was a magazine I read, and I said, you know what? Let's get Steve on, and he always plays ball with us, which is great. Steve's a great friend of the show, and he couldn't make it because he's out on the left coast.
Yeah.
You know, he couldn't make it in today, but...
we'll send him some here. We'll wrap it up.
Let's see what he had to say to us, though. Let's give it a whirl. Let's go back to...
Yeah, talk about altered wheelbases and stuff.
Yeah, your other hobby is making... I got a copy of the altered wheelbase models. There's an article in the March 2018 CarCraft magazine that got my attention called Funny Car Folk Art.
Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing is, you know, altered wheelbase funny car models were a thing in the 60s. And they're kind of coming back. But, I mean, you can chop and slice the wheelbase on a full-size car or a plastic one. But it was amazing that, you know, John McGann at CarCraft, he's the editor, hats off to him for being brave and, you know, giving a full 5 pages to CarCraft to a plastic model car story, which is very cool. Now, keep in mind, back in the 60s, you know, model cars were a part of the CarCraft editorial package every month, but it was cool. So, but it's a 5-pager. Basically, you're rounding up the idea that you don't have to have pretty paint and stuff, and just, you don't even paint the model. Sometimes just, you know, slicing, dicing, and having fun with it. And so, yeah, good eye. That was a fun story to write.
I tell you, I saw it, and I said, oh, great, Steve got a model story. And when I saw how long it went, I was like, this is fantastic. Five pages in CarCraft. But, you know, you definitely have the Ginsu knife of exactos, boy. You talk about slicing and dicing. You have this down to a. You could do this in your sleep, I'm sure.
Right. I mean, it's simpler than, you know, than a lot of folks might be afraid. But the punchline is, a lot of guys, whether it's plastic models or the real thing, you know, get bogged down in the details, trying to make it pretty. Now, this is not an excuse, you know, for being a butcher. But, you know, if you free yourself from the idea that it has to have perfect paint and be flawless, you get a lot done. You really do.
It kind of sounds like the cars I drive on the street.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that was those models are something else. Steve does a great job, and we'll get him back on again to talk about that in a while.
With those things, you know,
absolutely.
Wow.
So, you know, we have another good friend of the show, our good friend Jeep and Al, who's a displaced Long Islander, and he called in because he had a problem with some O2 sensors on his Jeep, and he needed some tech advice. So, of course, who's he going to call?
Yeah, SEAL Team 6.
He's
going
to call SEAL Team 6. So let's go see Al. If I know you're in the back there. I see he's by the cocktail table. He's got those. He's eating some Wiener Schnitzel and cocktail franks, I think.
Yeah. I think he's going to feed it to his Jeep later.
Exactly. So let's see how that sounded and see if we found a problem, a solution for his problem.
You know what I mean? So you might be close. On the other hand, if the thing is completely in the toilet, you know, it's just like buckle down. Get the CAD, be done. You know, if you got fresh O2 sensors in there, you know, you might as well just do it that way. A lot of times when an older car, and it's got, like, say, the original CAD, and it's, like, 10 years old, I'll recommend both the O2 sensors, because when you go to take them out and you put a wrench to them, or the torch, or the impact gun, or whatever weapon of mass destruction that the mechanic decides to use,
Al's got all of those.
The internal workings of the sensor, that little sensor nubby, it just goes...
Extremely, knock on wood, as I beat my head, extremely lucky with the O2 sensors. I've had none of them. I put a wrench on them, and they pop right out.
Oh, you're dead now.
Yeah, I know. Right?
That's it. I'd be throwing salt over my shoulder, going chopping the feet off a rabbit, something. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God. And I don't know if he ever solved that problem, but...
Yeah, I know. Then again, he hasn't come knocking on our door, so...
He's on to other things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, even though we give advice a lot of times, we get unsolicited advice and offers on the show. This one really caught us by surprise, and he gave me, gave us both a little bit of a chuckle there.
It sure did. Let's go see how this one sounded from back in, whenever the hell it was, in February.
Yes, you're on the Motor Mouse caller.
Yo.
Yeah, my remark is going to be strange. Can you use me on your show?
Well, who are we talking to, first of all?
My name is Carmine. I've been a used car dealer for 43 years. I'm a mechanic. I know cars in and out. I know everything that's going on in that business.
Oh, very good. You've been local for that many years, Carmine?
Oh, cheating and who's not.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we all kind of know those stories.
So you've been
doing this locally on Long Island for a long time?
Yes, I'm from Port Washington.
Oh, very good. How'd you find us?
I heard your thing on the radio just now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So in other words, you were trying to find another station, and you came upon us, and yeah, you know, like watching a train wreck, you had to stop and listen.
You were looking
for
music, and you found us, right?
Right.
That's how it always happens, Joe. People are looking for something else. They're looking for smooth jazz, and they find Motormouth Radio.
Yeah, then they get rough idols.
Well, I'll tell you something. This is a very profound bit, because today being Mother's Day, we have found ourselves in a conversation about Italian mothers.
Oh,
and
yes.
And, you know, it still stands. So
where it all starts.
Let's go right back, and moms everywhere, this one's for you. Yes, if you make the mess, you have to clean it up. Your mother taught you that, right?
Oh, yes.
And it was at the expense, and
I had my own Snap-on mop for a while.
Yeah, it was at the expense of a whatever implement your mother preferred, like a slipper, a shoe, a frying pan, a rolling pin. My mother used wooden spoons. It got to a point where she would chase my brother and I around and then, like, hit us with them, but and it would break.
Right.
And I remember, like, we'd turn, like, laugh, like,
maybe
Ma,
we should go metal,
on.
Ma.
Yeah, like, no. It's like, come on.
Here's this nice foam one. You can try
but,
that.
You know, but that's the thing. You're running through the house. You're getting beat. And you know, retaliation isn't even in your mind. It's your mother. You're not going to, you
exactly.
know, come on.
Yeah.
And it's like...
You probably deserved it anyway, so you should sit there and take it.
That and then some. You know, that's what it was like growing up in an Italian household. I think probably some other types of households, too, were kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I've heard that from a couple different nationalities. The implement, the utensil might change slightly, but for the most part, there was some type of impact involved there.
Okay, yeah. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah,
we've all been through that.
You know, that reminds me. We got to hook up with a Snap-on truck. That mop, you know.
I'll see if it's in the catalog. I got a guy.
Yeah, I know. Johnny Wrench tried to use it for a pry bar last night.
Right.
So it's kind of gone now, but that's all right. That Snap-on stands behind this stuff, so we're okay.
Yeah.
You know, and talking about people who use tools quite a bit, our friend and Renaissance man, Christian, from Mach Modified Performance, called to match wits with any form of programming I've ever done. I wonder if he's hiring for side work.
Let's go see. I see Christian's in the back. He's over there with the Crown Maple Syrup. So let's see if he's got that going.
Maple Syrup.
Christian!
Hey, Christian, what's going on, man?
Talk to us.
Oh, not much. Forgot what I was going to talk about.
Oh, good. You're just like us, then.
I'm still having those brain farts lately.
Absolutely.
Cranial flatulation, yes.
And I haven't been using too much 2+2 lately.
Oh, good.
Usually that'll do it.
Absolutely.
No, you were talking about scanners. I was just thinking in my head, I remember when I worked in the dealership back in the day, mm-hmm. Freeport with the motorcycles, we had Aprilia, which was an Italian company.
Right.
And they started coming out with these fuel-injected scooters.
Right.
Two strokes, 50cc, two strokes.
Mm-hmm.
And because the European models and stuff, they come in a homologated. Ooh. Phenolic. Okay.
Not phenolic.
Yeah, that's what
I
was trying to say.
Right now. Mm-hmm. I'm already a little off this morning. But I remember, you know, when they came out, the fuel-injected models, I said, how are we going to work on these things with, like, codes and all this stuff? I still have it. I'm going to send you a picture. I got to pull it out of my archive. I have it packed away. But believe it or not, they supplied us with a... it was a cartridge. It was a game cartridge that fit into a Game Boy.
And
was
no
a Game
kidding.
Boy to really? Scan and flash the ECUs and the scooters.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'll have to pull that out, and then you can put that on the
Italian-Japanese cooperation.
What year was that, Christian?
2002. I think they started using a VDO ECU. They were getting away from Morelli. Oh, no, maybe it was Morelli.
Uh-huh.
You got to remember, when I was doing a lot of fuel injection stuff, when I first started in the motorcycle industry, everything was still on floppy disk, you know?
Yeah, probably 5 1/4.
Yeah, it was pretty basic analog stuff, too. We used to have, like, these boxes with dip switches and, you know, flash. You had no idea what you were doing. It was a luck of the draw. You know, you put a pipe on a motorcycle and you hit a couple dip switches and you're like low, medium, high. You know, it was very basic. But the Game Boy option was great because you would take a little panel off the handlebar of the scooter and there was like a little plug and you plug in, you plug your Game Boy in, I'd reflash the ECU right from Italy to the United States. You take a 50cc scooter, you go from 2 horsepower to 7 horsepower.
Wow.
Because it had to be 2 horsepower when it came into the country.
Did you have to do the olive oil upgrade for the crankcase? Well,
you had to do the, they were inside the airbox, they used to have like a restrictor, and then they had on the, it was a CBT, so it was a belt drive and had like a little pulleys and stuff. They had like a washer, so you would just blow off the one pulley, take the washer out, and then that would allow the belt to go up a whole nother ratio.
Oh, cool.
You know? But the thing was is that at the dealership, what I would do is I would take the washer out and the restrictor out of the, you know, out of the intake and everything, and then I would roll the scooter out, and the guy would be like, yeah, you know, and I'd be like, oh, wait a second. I come out with my Game Boy, I plug the Game Boy in, and I'd be like, hold on, bing, 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 okay, go ride it.
And he thought you were just playing games.
No, yeah, and then they go out and they ride it, and they come back, and they're like, what did you do? Hey, here's $20. I'm like, thanks, dude, see you later.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah. And I think I just saw Christian pass that $20 to the barmaid over there as a tip, even though it's an open bar.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to take care of your service there. You know, you want to make sure that the drinks, they don't hit the water button too much.
True.
Dispenser there.
I got to tell you, Joe, you know, I started working at the shop with the boys this year pretty heavy, and I found myself...
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, I found myself not working exclusively on hot rods like I thought I was going to do when Mike asked me to do a little routine maintenance on one of the shop trucks. And the lesson here is that I need to, I think, look more and hammer less. Let's see how that worked out.
Yeah, listen.
And you are back with the Motor Mouths, listening to Fear Release. No, that's not Fear Release. That's track 10. Eh, well, we screwed it up again. It's okay. The pooch got another go-around. That's quite all right. That's the way things work here. If we can't bend it, break it, or burn it, we will somehow obliterate it into the stratosphere, and then yeah, we'll make it work again later. So we're back. You know, Joe, I wanted to tell you another story that was kind of interesting. I had to...
What's that, right?
I was tapped on the shoulder to do a brake job. He says, would you like to do a brake job on the van today? I'm like, eh, why not?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I got this text. Yeah,
you remember the van, right?
Yeah.
So it's like this Ford E350, 12, 15, 30 feet long thing.
The BFV edition.
Lots of lug nuts. Yeah, yeah, big, heavy van. Swing the thing. This was Wednesday when it was like 70 degrees. I'm like, okay. I swing it around to the shop, and I'm like, wow. All the bays are full. I'm like, all right. So here I am thinking, boy, I'm so happy. I'm finally working in a shop that has lifts. And I'm going to do this van on a floor jack on the ground outside, right?
Back to basics.
So, okay. So I said, that's not above me. It's not below me either. So I said, no problem. I'll just get it high enough just to get that wheel off. There's no Superman here. I'm the old guy, right?
Yeah.
So I do that, and I work on the left side first, and I can't get the wheel off.
Okay.
It ain't coming. So I said, okay, you know what? Let me go to the left side. Let me see what happens over there. And I'll wait for Mike Jr. to come back, get the young gun in to help me out. So I go to the left side, and of course, zip, 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 zip. I count the lugs, eight of them there. So the left side, I take it all apart, get the caliper off, bracket off, the whole nine yards. Everything is rusty, but I get it off. Mike comes back, and I said, hey, listen, you got to help me on the right side here. I can't get this rim off. I was hitting it with the dead blow. I started with a 2x4.
Right.
And I'm dead blowing it at the rim tire interface.
Mm-hmm.
Whack, whack, whack. So now I got whack, 2 2x4s. So I take a half of that one, whack, whack. Oh, now I have 3 2x4s, whack, whack. Now I got 4 pieces of 2x4. I'm like, pff. So Mike shows me a body shop trick. He wraps the dead blow hammer in a towel.
Okay.
Goes, this is how we do it in the body shop. And he lays down under the front of the van and he starts hitting it from the back as I'm spinning it in the front.
Right.
This always works. I saw it move just a little bit, but it just wasn't coming off. Like, Minka, what the hell is going on with this wheel? Like, somebody welded this thing on. Then he looks over and he says, are all the lug nuts off? I'm like, yeah, good. And I look, there was one lug nut.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
The rim was black. The lug nuts were painted black. That was the problem. Everything was black. I was like, you're not going to... I took the gun, take it off. The wheel fell off, and I said... Okay.
Yeah.
I said, I tell you what.
Hashtag duh.
I said, I tell you what. You know what? I'm too old.
Dude, I've done that myself.
To be proud.
Yeah. Dude, you know? I've done this myself, except I was lucky. Nobody was looking.
Well, that's why I say, hey, listen, Motor Mouth Radio, we fall on our swords.
Yeah.
We will do that so that someone else can make. Just a caveat to the story. That's the real main story there. That's
pay it. Attention.
There
are no cars out there, to my knowledge, that have 7 lug wheels.
No, Joe, there are not. But. Well.
you know, yeah, you never can tell when they're going to slip them by you.
Absolutely.
And, of course, you found it, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like everything else with this stuff. You have to be on your toes. And, you know, I mean, you know, I'm talking about, well, diagnostic, same thing.
Yeah.
When you're talking about diagnostic mode 6, I reveal some of my true inner language talents that I possess.
It's one of my favorite bits. Let's see what Joe knows.
But mode 6, if you are lucky enough to have a scan tool that could read it, and depending on that scan tool, whether it translates it into human language or you could actually understand hexadecimal, because I don't.
Right. But you do understand Vulcanian.
That's Slavic. Perfect Savicom.
Right.
And, yeah. nobody's perfect.
Well, that's why, you know, we hand Joe these little multicolored pieces of wood, and he can read them. He puts them in some drive that reads them, and he says, oh, yes, I got the data.
Yeah, I know. That's it's a bad thing, because sometimes interacting with regular humans, you know.
I know.
That was the true nature of Joe D's diagnostics, folks. You got to see
regular
these.
Regular humans.
Absolutely. So now we go back to our good friend Carl Anthony again. Look, this was a real love fest, Joe, when Carl, yeah. we were just like throwing back and forth the big love for each other.
I know. It was like, get a room.
Yeah, and I still don't know what he sees in us, but let's see what he had to say. We have an hour a week to get our information out, which sometimes isn't enough. But you, at automoblog.net, you guys, you and your team, put out the most amount of pertinent information in the automotive world that I have seen in a while, and I want to commend you again for doing that, because you really do succinctly put out some great stuff.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Tell
talented
us,
team.
Well,
thank
tell
you.
Yeah, tell our listeners, how do you do that? How do they how does an entity like that come about?
So what we do is, you know, we started the site back in 2006 as a way just simply to write about our love for cars. Chris, who's my partner in the site, Chris Burdick, he wanted to build websites and he liked cars, and that's how it started. We just were a group of car guys that loved writing and communicating about cars, and it grew from there. And really our growth has happened really exponentially in the last 3 years, where we've become more involved in the automotive industry with the manufacturers, with the smaller companies. And we've always said that with regard to Automoblog, we'll talk to anybody. So no company is too big or too small. If they're in the automotive world, we want to meet them. We want to tell their story. And
I was going to say, that's
right.
Joe said, yeah, proven by the point that you will actually talk to us.
Well, we're thrilled to be part of with you guys. I mean, you know, man, we look up to you guys so much. I mean, you guys have been in the business a long time, and so we're really glad to, you know, we're really glad to be here and be part of this with you guys.
Well, anytime. Like car guys, we all have a sense of people, but you also have a sense of a business entity too, and you say it's going to be good or it's not going to be good. So,
right.
Yeah, the radar goes up.
Yeah, definitely. And the radar was up that day, Joe.
Yeah, yeah. Scanning the skies for more information there, you know? Well, you know, speaking of scanning the skies, we found a tool dealer.
Yes, we did.
Our newest tool dealer friend, Brian from Matco in Maryland, called to talk about new tool trends, and that revealed my surprising choice of air gun tool covers.
We do put it out on the line here. Let's see what Joe's tool trend was. I know some of the tool brands have done this, and I'm a big fan of it, even though I don't own any. But some of the companies have been laser etching the sizes on the sockets and the wrenches, or somehow indicating the size bigger than my dopey eyes can
see.
Is Matco doing that at all, or is it?
We've done it on our sockets for the last 20 years, and we actually just started with. We have the traditional, like, gold color, basically, color that it is. And now we've just started with the neon green and orange.
Ooh.
Neon orange.
Yeah, that's popular.
So that you can have with the matching air tools, because we have our air tools in three colors, neon green and the bright orange and maroon.
Okay.
Design the tools.
Well, this way, too, if a guy like you, Doug, you got orange. And John's got green and I got nothing, you know, like my just the old style, you know. You can tell whose is whose. You're like, hey, give me back that air gun. Get over here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's one of my biggest questions when somebody comes out, if I if I have a deal on something and everybody's coming out to the truck to get something, first question is there any different color? Because, right. you know, you get three or four guys with the same thing. Somebody seems to lose it and steals it from the other guy, and yeah. It's a whole
well, you know, it'd be cool.
ordeal.
I guess if the tool companies now had, say, you know, you can usually take the cover off the gun, maybe just make a line of covers, like cell phone covers.
Yeah,
yeah, I get the zebra stripe one, you get the polka dot one, Joey gets the...
Yeah, My Little Pony.
Is it My Little Pony? And now we know what the secret was to Joe's tool supply. Why no one takes your tools?
That's right. They get scared. They're like, wait a second, this is a little too perverted, even for me.
Right.
So they kind of just step back.
Well, the other surprise I got to tell you about was just a couple months ago. Sometimes even our guests get sandbagged on Motor Mouth Radio. Oh yeah, and we're sure that Dougie from the UD wasn't expecting to hear this voice.
Oh no, not this one.
Not on the other end of the line by a long shot, but it was a great call, so let's visit it. Well, phones are on fire. Let's go back to the line and see who's on with the Motor Mouths.
Hi, how are you? This is Laura. Who's this?
I'm Ray, Laura.
And I'm Joe.
Hi, Ray. This is Dartboard Doug's wife.
Mrs.
Dartboard.
Hi, Laura.
Hi, Johnny.
Yep.
I didn't know you were putting me right on. I wanted to mess with
you. No, you're live on the air.
Yeah, say hello.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
Sure. Bring it on.
Well, what I had in mind, first of all, was the suicide mission, and that was to change the color of his 67 Chevelle from Tahoe Turquoise to Marina Blue to match the 65 Corvair that he's doing right now.
Well, kudos for knowing the names of the colors, because that's extra points.
She's
right
cool.
There.
Yeah, she's a keeper, this one.
Very good.
Sure. Oh, I can turn a wrench. That's why he's married to me.
Okay.
I want to help him out a little bit.
Okay.
How hard is it to change the heater core in the 93 Corvette?
Just insert any Corvette.
Just put Johnny Wrench on. He'll do it.
I've done a couple of those.
No, Johnny.
I've done a few of them. It's involved, let's say. It's not one of those, it's not an easy thing that you want to do on a Saturday afternoon, because it's going to take you till, like, you know, Sunday night to get that thing done.
By the way, it's not leaking that bad.
Yes, it is. You don't drive it. I do.
There you go.
You ever notice that she keeps a snorkel on the dashboard?
and
flippers. Yeah.
And flippers.
It's not that good, yeah.
Water wings, yeah. They gotta work into the labor rate, the getting down and getting back up time.
Right,
because you can kneel down fast, but getting back up, it takes a few extra seconds.
You got to set up the crane and stuff, yeah.
What crane?
Yeah.
I don't need a crane.
For my fat little you-know-what.
Yeah. I want to come around with a line of either pants or knee pads for car guys that have springs in them, so like you can just like, boink, pop your back up, you know?
Inflatable like that jockey saw.
People are wearing gloves under the cars. Get your hands dirty, for God's sake.
Well, we do that too, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it's the bleeding on, especially in interiors.
It was about a week ago, I was sitting home having dinner, my wife, my daughter, myself, and my daughter's like, oh, Dad, she goes, I'm just going to wash your hands. I'm like, I did. I was like, four times. I was like, this will take a few days to come off. I'm like, I got to lose some skin, you know? And my wife says, she's like, you don't haven't been around your father-in-law. If you don't understand, like, that's normal, you know?
Listen, my dad used to have to bleach his fingernails.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To get the grease out from underneath them.
You don't want to put it in when it cut.
He's working on the
That's I'm sorry, I don't even use, I go under the car, I don't use gloves. I'm old school, sorry.
All right, very good.
She's tough,
well,
I like
Well, thank
her.
You for your assistance. So, Doug, just know that Corvette's safe. I'm not going out there to work on it.
Nice.
Okay.
And so is the Tahoe Turquoise.
Go take it for a ride. Don't worry about the heater car.
All right, Laura.
Yeah, all right.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
All right,
have a great day.
Thanks a lot.
Cool.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Oh, that was one of the best of the year. They're still talking about that,
yeah,
Joe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's you can't mention the word heater core or Corvette in the UD right about now, because
I can imagine.
And you know, it's just, well, one thing is that we can't get the damn thing in there to work on it because we're kind of packed up,
right?
All that kind of stuff. And you know, that's the thing about you're always buying parts, you're always acquiring parts, and you got to find some place to keep it. And on Vic. Our good friend Vic.
There he is in the back. I see him by the buffet.
Yeah, he's still over there. He's looking for the beer can opener there. Uh-oh. On his never-ending quest to buy more parts of his old car projects, Vic related his story about his recent trip to Carlisle.
Let's see.
Hey, guys, what's happening?
Hey, Vic, how are you?
What's up, man?
Yeah, same old.
Yeah.
Funny that you started with Nomads. Because Thursday I went to Carlisle and picked up my quarters, my Nomad quarters.
How did that work out for you?
Oh, I left at 3 o'clock in the morning, got there at 7.
Okay.
Walked the entire Carlisle in 4 hours.
See,
11 o'clock
those...
back in the van and 3 o'clock home,
like
3:15 in bed.
Yeah, no fooling. Nice. But you got the parts that you went for.
Yeah, but they were literally... I was at the front gate, and I couldn't find anybody to carry him with me.
Oh, no.
So
I knew if I stopped walking, I wouldn't start again.
Well, I guess you couldn't leave him and then drive around and pick him up like
no,
that?
No, no.
Man,
I could have sold him probably 2 or 3 times.
I would, I'm sure, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because people don't want to walk, you know, let's face it.
Right.
Yeah, I think I found a tailgate for it, but it's in Washington State.
Oh, geez, you find all the stuff that's the furthest away.
The thing is, it's got to be like $200-$300 or it's not worth it.
Right.
By the time it gets shipped and all, and he's got to crate it or else I'm going to have scrap metal when it
gets
here. Of
course, yeah, that's very true, yeah.
So. Yeah, you never know when you're buying something online or whatever. You know, you better hope that between A, the guy is honest, and B, he knows how to ship.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, well, he showed me. He's buying at the junkyard. Around the corner, I'd drive.
Yeah,
6-8 hours, I'd drive, but 5-6 days, nah, can't do it.
No, it's not worth it.
Someday we're going to have to, like, get, like, a farm or a giant field someplace and build, like, a giant warehouse so everybody can keep their stuff. I know, like, I'm getting to the point where I can't go out. I would have to go up.
Right.
And unfortunately, like, the FAA won't let me build it that high because airplanes.
Yeah.
About 35 years ago, me and a couple of my friends were going to get land out east and do that, turn it into a big storage yard.
Mm-hmm.
Where you'd store your car for like about $20 a month and this and that. But the regulations and the insurance and this and that just killed us. It would have been like $120 a month for each car.
Sure.
They don't want us having cars sometimes, I think. They really don't. They rather
they want us to have like electric cars that run into people.
Right, right.
Yeah, you know, bicycles or some animal drag
skateboards,
thing.
You can't even use a skateboard because helmets and this and that and blah, blah, blah.
You know, they'd have to have some kind of anti-gravity self-inflating pants or something. You know.
Your sensors.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was some tirade from Vic. I tell you, Vic has become...
And get off his lawn.
And Vic has become one of our normal, stable callers because when we heard what came in December with this next caller, we both scratched our heads.
Yeah.
I don't know. You guys see...
You're
if
like,
you,
what?
You guys see if you can figure this out. You let us know. So hello, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Listen, this is Stan from... that's right. Well, I'd like to know if you want to call this guy. It might be very good for you if you're showing you got nobody coming in. His number is 935-1604. His name is Joe Aragona. They call him Broadway Joe. He built nothing but Volkswagen and Porsche's engines. He's about 80 years old.
What?
So you might get a little hard time getting to him. But if you're sorry, you want to know, like, Speed Shop and Merkle and Vita, Gitar. Hi, Joe. He's got it all, man. So in case you want to call him, that's one of his numbers. You want the other number? I'll give you the other number, too, if you want it.
Well, that'll be good for now, Stan. Thanks, because we're actually live on the air. So,
So, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Hope he doesn't mind his number being out there.
Yeah.
But thanks for the tip.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're always looking for people, especially local people, so hey.
Yeah, because he's right here in Bethpage. He used to be on Broadway in Massapequa.
Okay.
And that's why they call him Broadway Joe, but he's a...
Okay.
There's nothing but Volkswagen and Porsche engines for Volkswagen.
Very good. Thanks, Stan. We'll follow up on that. Thank
Great
you.
Great tip. Much appreciated.
You're welcome. Have a nice day. Bye.
All right.
Bye.
So long.
Bye-bye. See, look at that. People are dropping a dime on all the listeners. That's pretty good.
You never know what's going to happen here.
Yeah. The miracle of live radio, folks.
Absolutely.
You never know who's going to be on the other side.
Absolutely. You never do know.
Yeah, we should start wearing like crash helmets or something. You know?
I think so.
Either that or bodyguards. I'm not sure what.
Yeah.
Well, you know, on the other side of more, I won't say normal, but remember the time that show favorite and controversial TV star Mark Warman got the big intro from Ray? Could you carnival life be next for you?
You know, I channeled our old host and compadre Chris Switzer on this one. Let's see how I did. We have on the phone the Duke of Dodge, the Prince of Plymouth, gals and ghouls, fasten your safety belts because we've got to play the intro music. Here it goes.
Here he comes.
I hear him revving it up. Mr. Mark Warman! Mark, how are you?
Hey, Mark.
Well, that's quite an intro. Thank you very much. I'm doing good. I love that song.
I take all of my cues from watching you on TV. That's how I learn how to... I really do, Mark, because you are a master. Yeah, you know, I was trying to do my best, Joe. I'm not that emotive kind of guy. I'm not the front man on the stage, that's for sure. But
yeah, you do a pretty good job there. You kind of channeled the Swizz there for a minute.
I did.
You know?
And then we got Mark down to talk about something that was such a personal topic about what he does in his personal life with phone books. Let's go see what Mark had to say about that, because I really like this story.
Well, the other day, I had a wild hair in this same spirit and started hunting for Eugene Springfield telephone books. And so I bought a 56, a 57, and a 75.
Wow.
And it is so fun to do that. If you haven't done that and you grew up where you're still living, you got to do it. Things that your brain has just put out of its necessity to look up comes rushing back.
So did you look up your old friends' phone numbers that you still remember, probably?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They were all there. Royal was there. He was living with his grandmother and Grandpa Joe.
Okay.
But, you know, equally, we looked up, like, the car lots and the restaurants and the drive-in theaters. Just, it's such a blast. And, you know, it's also kind of sobering when you come across people that you've lost over the years.
Right.
But you can go back in time and open a page, and when that page came out, they were real, and it was real, and you were friends, and you know that you what had happened to them hadn't happened yet.
Right.
So it's just like a snapshot for me. I absolutely love it.
Like your old buddy that you got that the Ram Charger truck from.
Absolutely, we looked up Butch Peterson. His dad Albert Peterson was living down there on North A and had Springfield Flower Shop. And 76 is probably the year that I spotted the Charger sitting beside the house. So I mean, so many things, you know, when you grow up and are born and raised in the same little town that you just forget that we're there. So.
Oh, yeah, that was some real down heartfelt stuff from Mark, I tell you that.
Yeah, he's got that side to him also, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, is that Mitch Valentine over there?
It is, from Radiance Lighting, yeah.
I see him over there LED the bar so you could we're going to make it into a landing strip.
Cool.
Next, you know?
Nice.
So we can aim the drinks when we slot him down there.
Excellent.
And Mitch Valentine, he, you know, like I said, from Radiance Lighting, he schools us in the difference between incandescent and LED lighting, which, I don't know, I would have just used the other ones for the bar, but hey, what the heck.
Whatever.
And then we admit to having a lighting lapse in one of our own vehicles.
Let's see what happened.
You know, you mentioned first that you kind of were inspired doing this because when you had the Sandrail, you kept blowing out lights.
Yep.
Could you kind of explain that to folks why that happened and why you were inspired to go with the LEDs?
Okay, well, basically an incandescent bulb is a filament. It's just a little wire that heats up, and when it heats up, it
throws off light.
It generates light. It's basically a heated up little element that generates light. Well, it's a super hot little piece of wire. Well, you hit a bump and you vibrate it, it breaks. It breaks the little wire just like any hot wire would do. The hotter it gets, the softer it gets. Well, you get any kind of vibration, that's why a headlight or a taillight will go out if you drove off-road or something too much, whereas a LED is completely solid state. It's actually, there is no filament. It's actually an electron reaction where the electrons are jumping electron bands, which is different valence, and every time it jumps up and drops back down to its original level, it
light.
Emits an energy, and that energy is a light energy.
I was going to say, that's a great, and I know Kevin's eyes lit up. He's like, wow, I remember that from my ELT classes,
been
too.
Been a long time.
But I was going to say, you talked about how a filament gets hot and soft, and when it gets jarred, anybody who's dropped the drop light in their garage knows what happens.
Exactly.
You know, even with the metal shell around it, it's right. Like, bang, gone, goodbye.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And I just had, even just last night, I was driving my old, I got a 63 Caddy, and I took it out just because nice. The weather's been good. And
sure, rub it in.
Oh, I love that car. So the I went to get in the car, and it was dark. I turned the headlights on, and none of them turned on, and there's four of them up there. And I said, what's going on? So I went up there and flipped the switch, messed with them, and then I finally started hitting them with my hand, and they started kind of trying to come on, and I got, and I was pretty much gave up, shut the hood, and the minute I shut the hood, one of them turned on. I was able to get home with the one that turned on, but it was because I shook the filament enough to where it made a contact and was able to work again. It was,
wow.
An LED wouldn't do that.
Right, right. Well, that was true words from Mitch. That was great stuff. You know, I always wonder why a lighting guy was having lighting troubles. It's like the shoemaker shoes.
Yes, right.
The mechanics cars.
Yeah, the holes in them. Yeah, that's right. But it goes to show you what happens. That's how you learn, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, as funny as that was, we learned something here. These next couple of bits happened a while ago. These we took from a bit of the archive.
From the archives, yes.
Yeah, and it was when you were filling in for me.
Mm-hmm.
We found out that Joe doesn't only know Queen's Italian.
Right.
He knows another language.
Yeah.
And he reconnects with an old techie friend, Anthony, who takes him down a familiar... Yes, he takes Joe down a familiar wormhole where repairing German cars tends to drive a technician a bit Strudelhagen nuts. Joe, this is one of my favorites. Anthony couldn't make it, but I know we're beaming via satellite down to God's waiting room for him.
Yeah, we aimed it down there.
So...
You remember that.
Let's hear what he's got to say. And you.
And if today on Stereotype Day.
And if you look at him, he doesn't look like him. Let's go to the phones. Save ourselves. Go to the fun. How are you around with the Motor Mounts?
Yeah, how are you today? I hear you are speaking about German cars. It's my man Hans there.
Yeah, Franz, it's me.
Yeah, we are speaking about something very perverse and evocative. I like it.
Yeah, did you ever get that sunroof? Did you teach that sunroof how to close?
Yeah, well, after I did it for this 29.7 seconds each interval, it was very good. I had such an experience, I had to sun bathe for a while.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is my old partner, Anthony, who is much braver than I am. He does a lot of German cars down there in God's waiting room. And
yes, I'm still on safari in the search for the elusive intelligent redneck.
Yeah, speaking of, we would have an oxymoron day. There's another one right there.
Yeah. Well, there's the primer. That's the startup. We're laughing. Here we're laughing in the studio. Chris was laughing, and it just keeps getting...
Yeah, I had to get the mop for that one.
You know, how long did you guys do that kind of a shtick? I mean, because I know you had to cull that over a while.
Oh, we used to go through the... You know, we used to go through the shop like that, because he would always take those German cars in, and I'd be like... What are you doing to me? I can't understand this stuff. He's like, yeah, you just got to understand. It's not that hard. You just have to read the directions, and you have to be very precise.
Did he have a background with the German cars, or what was in his DNA?
He was in a shop that that did quite a few German cars back when they made sense and he made the transition. You know, so
what year was that?
Oh, we're going back to like the late 80s, early 90s.
Okay, right.
You know what I mean? Where you could still kind of understand German cars, and they would let you touch them, but it wasn't. You had to do it just the right way, otherwise you could have all kinds of problems.
You know, let's. I know you had some problems with instructions for those cars.
Oh God!
So let's hear what you had to say about those instructions.
The Saab instructions look like the service information looks like it comes out of an IKEA instruction sheet.
Oh,
you know, with the little man saying no. You know, as you stand there with like the jumper cables and the bends, it's like don't touch our cars. What's to live by? Do not touch those cars because you will blow them up. Ah, no, then again, you can touch them, then we could tell you another one. You can't touch that one even less.
Now, you know, how does that translate to today's, the modern cars of in the German world?
Well, actually, now you can't really touch anything without the right technology. But Germans, you have to reprogram the taillight bulbs, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you don't want to be messing with that stuff.
We got to get Anthony up here one of these years. We'll have to get the when we get the Motor Mouth Radio seaplane, we'll go down there and shuttle him up.
Yeah, I'd like to have him back to not so sunny New York for a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Either that, we'll have to do a remote from Florida, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that'll work. You know, let let me put in a little promo here since we need to do this contractually. We're having a party here, but you can also listen to the party mix on WHPC.
I thought that with the checks and the pretzels and the
that was the party mix, right?
Yeah,
I know. It's salty, so you got to keep drinking your libation of choice.
Yes.
Saturdays at 4 p.m. you can hear these guys. You get the night started with the host, Stephanie Lobato, who's a good old friend of ours. She's a Motormouth Radio friend from way back. And she has a mix of feel-good tunes, including hip-hop, techno, dance classics, and current hits. And I had my fill it out of the Sweet 16 the other night, I'll tell you that much. But you can do that.
Too much party mix.
So we'll get back to this. There was one more bit here that we had to cover with you guys. You literally had Chris Switzer.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is standing. He must. Now, I wasn't here. I was out for some reason, but he must have been a quivering pool of jelly. You could hear it. Right. In his voice. This is classic.
You know how much I love Chuck and Cuff.
You know, you hit the pinnacle. You were over the top. Chris hit the floor. So this is one of my favorites. Let's hear how it sounded back. It's undated. I don't even know what it was. But let's enjoy this one, yeah.
So I had a Beetle that wouldn't turn on the AC. And one of the reasons why, because one speed of the radiator fan didn't work.
One speed?
One speed. Because the resistor that night, one speed, and the module was like, you don't have enough blank. No, you will overpressurize. No, shut the whole thing off. You will sweat now. Bring the strudel. We're going to make an oven.
We're going to take a break.
Sorry, Chris.
See what happens when you work on cars too much?
You will sweat now. That's Joe D in for Ray Ray here on this Sunday afternoon.
After that one, I bought one of them cooling rigs from Harbor Freight.
Yeah.
Because you would sweat now.
Oh, you would. You know, I don't know where you come up with. I mean, I know it's all.
No, you. I mean, that would be from those late nights in the shop. You know what I mean? We would try to be figuring crazy stuff out. And we just start talking German to each other. Or pseudo-German.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he was Franz and I was Hans. And we'd pump you up, you know.
And it's kind of like, it reminds me of the old Saturday Night Live. Remember Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase? They were the two brothers.
Hans and Franz.
They were Hans and Franz.
I think it was David Harvey and Kevin Nealon.
Oh, I'm going pre that. I'm going to the original version.
Oh, really?
We are two wild and crazy guys.
Oh, yeah. That was another one of them European countries.
Yeah, it was like the Hungarian or Polish guys or whatever.
They had the hats and the pants and all that kind of stuff there. But I wouldn't even want to touch one of them freaking cars. You know what I mean? That's, you know, well, after that, after a session with one of those, you would want to go off and you've got to crack open to beer.
Right?
Yes.
I guess Bex?
The large thing.
Yeah.
You have to get the big one for that because otherwise your mind, otherwise you'll go out and commit violence.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you'll have to go out and do things that you really wouldn't want to do to the car otherwise.
Yeah. It takes you down a whole nother wormhole thinking about this stuff. And I got to say, we're getting to the end of this show, Joe. We only have a couple of bits left and we're going to go join our friends and eat, drink, and be merry or something like that.
Are you going to do that cross-dressing thing again?
Yeah, we'll get the little My Little Pony covers and we'll...
Now you're talking My Little... Yeah, you know, because before that, with the charming cars, we had the My Little Clydesdales.
There you go. All right, the little poppy things on the feet.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is, again, just to give people a little heads up, you don't have to, you can't try out for this, but if you do call during the year and you're, you know, you put in a good call, it's either informative or funny or, that's the kind of stuff that gets flagged.
And you leave a scar.
And
you have to leave a scar, whether it's a humorous or a psychological scar. We will take you and we will put you into the next Mother's Day.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, we sit there, we knock a couple back and we say, oh yeah, this guy, he was out of his mind. Yeah, let's put him on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or, you know what? This guy actually made sense. The rest of the show didn't that day, but this guy made sense, so let's keep him, you know?
So speaking of a guy, actually, this is your intro. What am I doing? You got to intro this guy.
Oh, well, you know, when you talk about people, the regulars that show up, and he's always been on the best of on the Mother's Day stuff. It's the big man, Howie.
That's right.
And he compares Ray to his wife when his car repair methods come into question.
I never know what he's going to do. And that day, he threw me for a loop, and I actually sat back and you nailed him. So let's see.
Let's intro him. It's the big man.
Hey, Howie, I see him in the back. He's over there. Look, he brought in a portable MRI machine.
That's right. Oh, wow. Look at that.
He's trying to stuff Doug
boogie in it.
All the,
that ain't gonna work.
All the silverware's going flying. Oh.
No, it's all the wrenches in guys' pockets. I think I just saw a couple snap on half inches fly.
Hey, look at that. Johnny just got stuck to the side of the machine.
That's who can't.
Turn that off, Howie!
Let's see what Howie had to say. Sometimes you gotta just, you know, you gotta man up on this stuff.
Yeah,
I know.
They don't like that stuff.
Professor Ray, you sound like my wife, you know?
Really?
Gotta man up and do this. Okay.
Oh boy. Let's not go there.
All right.
Man up, Howie.
That was always a contentious subject.
Let's face it. You know, at that point, you really just want to clench. You just have to clench something.
Yeah.
Some ring-shaped muscular orifice must be clenched.
It happens. Otherwise, yeah. Well, Howie gets into some weird car repairs. He gets into some. He buys a lot of kind of. You're always on him for the cars that he buys.
Right.
And then has to repair.
German and Swedish, actually.
Yeah.
And I yell him, and he's like, I like it, but I'm like, okay, well, guess what? I'm not coming over.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. I don't care how much cookies you buy me. It's not happening.
You know, there's only so much you can do. But then again,
he makes it work. Somehow he gets out there, and somehow or another, it goes down the road.
I don't know how he does it. I really don't.
Doesn't have a smoke trail.
That goes for a lot of our listeners and callers. They do get involved in the weirdest things. Al is always ripping these Jeeps apart. He's got, every other day, he's got bearings and gears on the workbench, and he's welding stuff, and, you know, he's...
There's some people out there doing that kind of, you know, hammers and torches, and
forget
somehow
about what
they make stuff work.
Yeah, forget about what the UD guys are getting their hands into. They're into all sorts of crazy stuff. I never know what they're doing.
Well, let's face it. That place there, you know, we have unique methods of applying force and disassembling stuff that shouldn't be disassembled, and then reassembling it, which it shouldn't be reassembled.
It's kind of like magic, you know. Things just kind of take their own way of.
Well, we just have a unique way of doing things.
We're trying to do that down at our southern version of the shop. We're trying to make some magic, and it happens sometimes. Sometimes it's a little tough.
Well, there are some times that what we do people would call magic, but. We're just a couple of wrench twisters and wire probers and
we've kind of
occasionally I grab the wrong ignition cable and I'm a shock jock then.
Yeah, a shock jock, right? You get to do that. I know. That's a cool thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's working on cars, you know, being a car guy. Not only that, but you also have to be, you know, you have to be a little bit of an engineer, got to be a little bit of an electrician, got to be a little bit of an HVAC guy, you got to be a little bit of a chemist, you got to know all these things, you know, physics. I mean, this is all the stuff in school that, you know, I was trying to hide under the desk floor or, like, you know, hang out in the bathroom or something, but no, now, in my later years, I find myself, like, doing math.
It's repair on the fly. I had a problem yesterday where I had all of a sudden breezing through a job and got a strip caliper bolt. What are you going to do? You got to get that thing fixed.
What are you going to do? Send the car out with three wheels?
No, and it's my daughter's car, so, you know, you really can't do that.
Oh, well, at that point, yeah.
Then I had Mike.
Have no choice.
Yeah, you know, we changed the rear wiper blade, and the rear one didn't fit in the holder, so he actually took the blade out.
Right.
And he's never done that in his life because he's, you know, that's before him. That's in our day.
Right, well, but, you used to change the inside.
Right, but he figured how to take it out and put it in a new one. So we're doing this stuff on the fly, and I give him a lot of credit because it's kind of like a...
It's heartening to see that there are guys that still have that adaptability, that kind of imaginative way of approaching things. Not you know, they just stop cold when something just...
Right.
You get thrown one curveball, you know?
It's still a thinking man's game. Well, I'll tell you what.
Is.
We have our last bit, again, with Mr. Carl Anthony from AudibleBlog.net. You got to check these guys out. He's a great fan of ours. He's always promoting us. We like to promote them. They have
a great site, yeah.
Yeah, they have the most up-to-date. They have stuff every day coming out, and they cover everything. The auto shows, the trends, the trucks, the cars, cutting edge. They're all over the place. So Carl
to be a fly on that computer monitor.
Yeah, Carl once again conveyed the highest level of admiration on the Motor Mouths, which we plan on using on our upcoming resumes and t-shirt ads. And Joe, you kind of succinctly covered that. So let's see
for
what Carl
offices too.
Let's see what he had to say.
I got to compliment you guys too, because the first caller, Christian, as well, I think that was his name,
yeah,
Christian.
Yeah.
You guys are dialed into the local community. I mean, that's what the car culture is all about. it's one thing when you're in the business of cars and whether you're selling them or fixing them. In our case with Automoblog, we're writing about them and reporting them. But why do we get into the business of cars? Why do we love cars? It's because of that community aspect and that friendship aspect. And it's that whole culture. That's what draws me to cars. And I was listening to that first caller with Christian, and I got to compliment you guys because you guys have that going on. You are dialed into that Long Island car culture. And I love it. It's fantastic. And that's why we love your show. And that's why we continue to promote it on Twitter. That's why we enjoy our relationship that we have with you guys. Yeah, it's just, that was really, that's just, my hat's off to you guys for that.
We appreciate that. Basically, we boil it down to our marketing strategy is, yeah, we know guys. Did I see the phone flashing absolutely. Just now?
Absolutely. We do know guys, Joe.
Yeah, we know guys. Plus, we send them cookies, too.
Yeah.
The shipment of New York bagels every once in a while and the pizza dough definitely helped out. You know, bribery will get you everywhere
sure
if you
does.
Know the right people. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that was it. You know, our good friends Dina and Drew, we didn't have a bit to fit them in with this year, but they always brought in food. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
We are done. We're going to get out of here. Let's go. We get to go eat.
Yeah, come on. Saddle up. Come on. Yeah. There's still a couple pieces of hero left. You know
our
what I
family
mean?
Showed up. I think they're bringing out the second course. They're waiting for us.
Yeah. And look, there's beers left and everything, you know?
Let's go do it.
Let's rock, baby.
Joe, till next week, more Motor Mouth Radio.
Yes, well, there'll be more of us. And happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
To all you mothers out there, have a great day. You deserve it for putting up with all crap.
Absolutely. So for Joe D., Ray Guarino, Motor Mouth Radio, we're out of here. See ya.